Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the iSports MSU Red Seat Report. I am Tyler Hayward. Marie Kane is with me as well. The Red Seat Report is, of course, part of iSports Web. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the Red Seat Report on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Red Seat Report. Like I said, Marie Kane is here today. She covers the Crimson Tide for us at iSports Web and is going to give us a little bit of insight on Alabama as Michigan State looks to end 2015 like they started as the Cotton Bowl champions. Obviously, Nick Saban will have a little something to say about that. But Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the matchup against Michigan State. Definitely don't think the media is giving Michigan State the credit that it deserves. So we will see.
There's people down in Dallas not giving Michigan State the credit they deserve. Read a couple of player social media accounts where everybody down there is asking them if they play for Michigan. They're not taking that too well.
No, I don't imagine Alabama players wouldn't take it too well if asked if we played for Auburn. So I wouldn't think Michigan State would take it well either.
Right. Well, let's just dive right in. Let's start with the focal point of Alabama, obviously. That is the Heisman Trophy winner, Derrick Henry. I think it's kind of been discussed. Me and my usual co-host for the show, Ryan, we talked about it. There's not a way to stop him, but it is possible to slow him down. Going back to the Arkansas game, 27 rushes for 95 yards and a touchdown. That was easily his worst game where he kind of played throughout the entire contest. Didn't get pulled early because they were blowing out a nobody opponent. What did Arkansas do to try to, and how can MSU try to imitate those results?
Well, Arkansas, if you see in that game, I mean, many other teams have tried to do the same thing. They were really capable of stacking their defense for Derrick Henry. They forced him to run lateral. He is not a player that is adept at, you know, breaking the corners, rounding the corners. He is a more up the middle, find the hole kind of guy. Forcing him to run laterally, tackling him behind the line, you'd be surprised at his numbers of how often he does get tackled for a loss. They kind of get masked in his long yardage runs. But they were able to shut him down at the line, not give him any holes up the middle. But also in that game, you see that they also shut down Jacob Coker a little bit with his deep passes to Calvin Ridley. That didn't happen as much. So it forced some more conservative play calling and allowed the Arkansas team to be able to really focus on containing Henry.
Right, and let's just be perfectly clear here. Arkansas did end up losing that game, but Brett Bielema, he's kind of the same type of I don't want to say he's the same type of person as Mark D'Antonio, because I think Bielema is I can't say it on radio. Let's just put it like that. But he's not the same type of person as Mark D'Antonio, but he's the same type of coach. He likes the power game. He can throw it if he has to. Arkansas.
Right.
What was their secondary like? And talk a little bit more about Coker, because if you look at the list of the four quarterbacks who are playing in the playoff, Baker Mayfield, Connor Cook, Deshaun Watson, those guys get all the attention in the world. All of them were considered Heisman candidates late into the season. Jake Coker is the odd man out, more or less. What does he bring to the table that maybe Spartan fans don't know about him? Because there is a lot of talk like, oh, you stop Henry, you beat him because Coker doesn't have it in him. I'm not buying that talk, by the way. I'm just saying that's what it's...
Right. Coker has a different feel than the other quarterbacks in this in the playoffs. He isn't so much as a big play. He's not known as a big play kind of guy, even though some of his more redeeming qualities have been these deep throws, 50, 60 yards to Calvin Ridley down the field. You can see the games where as soon as Jake Coker lets the ball go, I mean, offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin's got his hands in the air for a touchdown. But what Coker really does bring to the table is that he, you know, it's kind of a cliche term with Alabama football, but he's a game manager. And he didn't have that aspect on early in the season. It was kind of erratic during the loss to Ole Miss. Nick Saban actually started backup quarterback Cooper Bateman. But during that game, at halftime, Jake Coker was put back into the game. He won his team over with his leadership. He was able to manage that game and get his team back from a 20-point deficit, though they did lose. But from that point on, he's learned how to be the real general of that offense. So he's able to throw the deep passes. He's able to be mobile. And many of these games might not have been won, frankly, without Jake Coker being mobile as he was on third downs.
Right, and that's an aspect that kind of gets hidden in it all, is that Coker is, I don't want to say he's a mobile quarterback. He's not a Deshaun Watson. He's not one of those types of guys, but he's almost like Connor Cook in his mobility, where he can run if he has to, but obviously you prefer him to be a pocket-type guy.
Right, he is a pocket type guy, but he's not gonna be a, you know, a Cam Newton at Auburn or, you know, a Deshaun Watson. No, he's not gonna be another running back for you. But he is not afraid of taking a hit. I know that makes coaches cringe, but it wins the respect of your other teammates, because this guy will take the hit to get an extra 2 yards.
And I mean, we're going to jump on the Arkansas thing one more time, just because you talked about how they were able to slow him down as well. Was it just a man-to-man type coverage where the receivers were not getting open? What was the situation in that game? If you can go back to, if you can recall it.
Sure. No, I think many Alabama fans will remember yelling at the TV during that game. But it was a combination of both, really. It initially started with a lot of hurrying of Jacob Coker. He wasn't yet established as a, you know, being as mobile as he is now. He was hurried, and they also played man-to-man coverage also. So it was just a combination of both, him being hurried and uncomfortable, and not being able, I think it also hurt him not being able to rely on Henry as much during that game. So it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy in some way of each feeding onto each other.
Let's kind of turn our focus to the other quarterback. The more talked about quarterback in this matchup, looking at Alabama's schedule, Connor Cook, though, maybe statistically doesn't have the greatest numbers in the world, he probably is the best quarterback that Alabama has faced. He struggled a little bit as of late, though, with an array of injuries to his right shoulder. Alabama's weakness is considered to be their secondary, yet they still rank in the top 20 in interceptions. I'm not sure what you know about Connor Cook, but does he have it in him to where maybe he can move the ball, as Michigan State's rushing game is expected to be wiped out by Alabama's front seven.
Right. I don't think any of us really know Connor Cook's how healthy he will be for this game. From what I've read, it seems that he, you know, will be pretty healthy for this game. And like you said, I mean, the Alabama's secondary definitely has been their weakness on defense, at least for this season. Teams have been able to, you know, throw the deep balls. And so if we have a quarterback that is able to do that in Connor Cook, then I could foresee this game opening up a bit. And as you know, as many know, Alabama often isn't leading by a large margin at halftime, or they're trailing at halftime. If Michigan State and Connor Cook can keep throwing those deep balls, opening up this game, and even by doing that, by being able to throw those deep balls, may even be able to open the running game. I don't see why Michigan State cannot be in this game throughout and be able to turn the tables on the Tide.
Right, and I mean, you talked about it. It's about the health of Connor Cook. Varying rip going around, if you will. One, Connor Cook is saying that he is 100% healthy. Two, as of a couple of days ago, he was still wearing the same wrap on his right arm that he wore for the Big Ten championship game, and he wasn't putting the zip on the ball that we normally see from him. So you really wonder. It's all about the health of Connor Cook, I think, if you're talking about moving the ball against Bama. Because if you obviously watched that Iowa drive, it was nothing but running with the exception of a 3rd-and-8 pass to Aaron Burbridge that kept the game alive for the Spartans. And so they are going to need him. Alabama, definitely not Iowa. Not to discredit the Hawkeyes. They got a phenomenal defense. They got a great secondary. But this Alabama defense is a different kind of a animal, if you will. Another one of the storylines that Clinton talked about, Saban versus D'Antonio, teacher versus student. A lot of Michigan State fans still remember the butt-kicking in 2011 that Nick Saban handed to the Spartans. How does a guy like Mark D'Antonio bounce back from that? And how does a guy like Nick Saban avoid being overconfident based on those results?
I think that you, as a coach, just have to look into the present. And in this situation, I think that D'Antonio has an advantage. He is looking to seek revenge. He can use that as a motivation for his players. I mean, there's lots of motivations going around that we see. I mean, the 10.5-point spread, the Henry calling Michigan State Michigan and just being discredited. But I see that it's, in some sense, it's him being able, the student being able to beat the teacher. And that's just so, that just seems like such more of a motivational factor than being afraid to lose. And so, but I, in some sense, I feel that the storyline is being overplayed a bit. I mean, we've seen this with, you know, other assistants and other head coaches playing each other, like Jim McElwain earlier in the season, former offensive coordinator at Alabama and now head coach of Florida playing Alabama. I mean, I don't know how much head coaches actually think about this that much, but I mean, obviously they know each things about each other's style of play.
Right. And, I mean, you talked about D'Antonio possibly using stuff as a motivational tool. I don't think you'd find another coach in the country who can do it quite like Coach D'Antonio can for Michigan State. Looking at these bowl games, over the past couple of years for the Spartans, they've struggled in the first half after long layoffs. You can look at their last 4 bowl victories. You look at TCU. You can look at Georgia, Stanford, Baylor. They were trailing pretty heavily in all of those games, at least early on. Obviously, they've come back. They won all 4 of those games. Don't exactly see that happening if Alabama gets off to one of those leads. I don't see Alabama necessarily letting down. How does Alabama deal with the long layoff? Specifically, you talked about Tony Brown a little bit before the show. How does Alabama handle it?
See, I think there's been a bit of inconsistency in the past few years with how Alabama has handled these long layoffs. And frankly, I generally think it depends on the venue. Alabama's played in New Orleans for the past couple of years and have lost both their games in the past years. And Frankly, from what I know, there was a lot of partying going on in New Orleans, and it's, you know, it becomes difficult to control players. But I think that this year, Saban has talked about his team having a more of a, you know, come and get it, we're get it attitude, as opposed to his other teams. He's been more strict with his players this year in all aspects, you know, in terms of team rules, et cetera. So we see the Tony Brown coming to Arlington for the Cotton Bowl and getting sent home. I think that's, you know, I don't know how indicative that is of what's going on in Arlington. It does trouble me a bit because Tony Brown hasn't lived up to expectations as a cornerback this year, but he has recorded a significant number of tackles on special teams. He is a star player there, and so if one player is violating team rules, I can feasibly see more violating team rules. So I'm a bit worried about the focus that's going on there.
Well, you talk about the focus of the team and things of that nature. How does the defense stay focused? Because Alabama, they are going to be losing their defensive coordinator. Can the defense maintain their focus despite that? Will there be too much emotion on that side of the ball? How does this team react to those types of situations?
Well, this team has been resilient the whole season. From the early struggles, I mean, through the Ole Miss loss, through everything, they've gotten stronger. I mean, they were aware even of, you know, Coach Kirby Smart's, the defensive coordinator's, impending departure even before the SEC championship game. And I don't think that it slowed them down any in this game. I think that they are focused for this game, and that Kirby Smart has done a good job of, you know, keeping their eyes on the prize for this season. I think he's, and many, you know, players after, you know, they found out he's going to Florida, but he's going to stay through the rest of the season. I think that earned tremendous respect for them for sticking with them through what they started. And I think by virtue of that, that has helped them to stay focused.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban, we talked about D'Antonio trying to find ways to motivate his team. Nick Saban, he can rally the troops around this as well. Let's kind of go back to the Derrick Henry thing. As there's been, I'm going to go out and call it an overreaction by the media based upon some of the tweets that linebacker Riley Bolden and John Rashke sent. Not because I don't think there was anything too degrading there. Riley Bolden saying he's looking forward to playing a Heisman winner. John Rashke saying we're going to hit Alabama harder than we have anybody all year, which would be quite an accomplishment after the physicality of the Iowa game in the Big Ten championship.
Right.
A lot of people in the media are viewing it as bulletin board material, which, frankly, I find to be bull crap. What are your thoughts about it?
I don't see – I just see this as, you know, some friendly gamemanship, you know, shooting the bull, you know, between teams. I just see it as some friendly banter. I totally agree with you that this isn't – this is – I think the only person that took – this personally during this whole Twitter exchange was Kenyon Drake, who's, you know, running back who has been sidelined with injuries this year, who said, you know, you need to do more than just saying it, you need to prove it on the field. I think he was the only one that took it personally. Derrick Henry even talked to the media and said that, you know, that shows a good defense, that they want to come out and they want to hit hard. And I totally agree with you. I think this has just been some fun banter.
I mean, to be completely fair to especially Reschke's tweet about hitting harder, you kind of have to bring down the load, like kind of a Neddy Lacy type running back. Just
right.
Really tough to bring down. you know, if okay, Derrick Henry's an Eddie Lacy type running back. If Eddie Lacy were on Weight Watchers, I think that would probably be the best way to put it. Since he's packed on a couple pounds, he got to Green Bay. Let's turn our attention to the special teams. Last year, a weak point for MSU. Earlier this year was a weak point for MSU. Things did start turning the corner. You look at the block punt against Michigan, made field goal against Ohio State. Geiger's been pretty accurate as of late, within 50 yards. How does Alabama compare as a – they've kind of been riding the roller coaster as well.
Definitely. Alabama, the kicking game, I mean, from the place kicker to the punter to fielding punts has been crazy all season. Adam Griffith came back. This is his third year as a kicker. He's probably most famous for the infamous kick six against Auburn in 2013, you know, to field goal, short field goal run back for a touchdown. I said at the beginning of the season that it seems like he still has PTSD from that event. He's been timid with his kicks. They've been short. Many have been wide. And the first part of the season, I believe he was 3 for 8, not making anything over 30 yards. Towards the latter half of the season, he was 5 for 5 with over 50 yards. And then again in the SEC championship, missed one inside of 30. So it's been up and down with him. Punter J.K. Scott last year was averaging over 50 yards a punt. This year the number's gone down by 10 yards. He's gotten better as the seasons went on, and which is always a great thing instead of having the up and down roller coaster. But Alabama, one surprising thing is that they've had a lot of difficulty with fielding punts and kickoffs. There's been a lot of drops and muffed balls, and two in the Ole Miss game allowed an Ole Miss touchdown and an Ole Miss field goal. So we don't, at least Alabama fans don't, I should say Alabama fans at least don't want to see any more of those special teams mistakes.
I mean, if you look at this, two great defenses, two solid offenses. I mean, it could be a scenario where the game is decided by special teams. And do you take the group that's peaking at the right time, or do you take a sporadic group that's slightly better coached, at least from a special team standpoint in Alabama? I believe they're a little bit better coached right now.
I personally, if it comes down to special teams, I'm not holding out much hope for my Crimson Tide. To be perfectly blunt,
let's hope it comes down to special teams.
I'm not holding out much hope if it has to come down to special teams, simply because Griffith he seems to choke in the big games ever since the kick six. So.
Okay. Let's get on over to a media-related subject. Booger McFarland of ESPN. I'm not even going to address him by his real first name, as I feel that's rather appropriate. He recently made he and Ole Miss are better than Michigan State. But then again, if you go to his Twitter handle, the letters SEC are conveniently located in there. MSU fans obviously spraying a lot of hatred towards him for those comments. You're an Alabama fan. What do Alabama fans think of that statement?
I'm living in the North right now. I can't speak for all Alabama fans, but at least the ones in my household think Booger is crazy. And I don't know how much stock you can put into a man that it goes by the name Booger, but I don't see how, I think that's even more disrespectful than Derrick Henry calling Michigan State Michigan. But he I don't understand. A 4-loss and a 5-loss team when Michigan, Michigan State's, a 1-loss team, and is obviously, I could have beat anybody. Definitely could have beaten anybody in the East, and we'll have to see who it comes down to if they could beat somebody in the West. So I definitely do not give Booger credit for that.
All right. We're getting close to grind time here. Like 4 minutes left in the show. Really quick, what matchup are you most looking forward to in this game?
Okay, well, I'm personally most looking forward to the little chess game that I think is going to go on between defensive lineman Ben Allen of Alabama and Connor Cook. Jonathan Allen has been a sack machine and a hurry machine this year. He's a big guy, but he's very athletic and very mobile. He can blast through the offensive line, in the Mississippi State game, obviously another MSU, was very troublesome to Dak Prescott. He sacked Dak Prescott 5 times, and he's been in other games. He's been pretty prolific there. So I'm interested to see how he will come after Jonathan Allen and how and see if he'll be able to move him out of the pocket and make him uncomfortable.
I mean, I'm kind of along the same lines as you. Michigan State's offensive line versus Alabama's defensive line. You've got 2 All-Americans on Michigan State's front five, a couple other All-Big Ten level caliber players. The thing is Connor Cook's shoulder may not be 100%. They may need to run the ball like they did against Iowa, how they just beat them up on the ground. Obviously, it was raining during the Ohio State game, so Michigan State did the exact same thing. They ran the ball the entire game. If Connor Cook's not 100%, they're going to need a little help from the ground game. That's obviously going to be very pivotal in deciding the winner. All right, we're down to our 2-minute warning. Your prediction and final score.
I don't think this is going to be a runaway game for either team, but I am going to have to go with Alabama 24-17. I feel like it'll be close at halftime, still close through the third quarter. I'm thinking still 17-17 at the third quarter, but I think Derrick Henry will get a final touchdown in the fourth.
Right. I mean, I've kind of went back and forth on this because I felt, Derrick Henry can wear down the defense, but then you look at Michigan State's defensive line, it's about as deep as you come. It's about as deep as you possibly can get in the NCAA, but I don't think Connor Cook's 100%. I think the Alabama secondary is underrated. Like I mentioned earlier, they are top 20 in interceptions, even though that's their weak point. They've started slow over the past couple of years in bowl games. Like I said earlier, Alabama won't let that happen. You can look at TCU, Georgia, Stanford. This is a different animal with the Crimson Tide. They're perennial favorites. They've been here before. They played at the stadium earlier this year like Michigan State did, so it's not going to be like, oh, well, we've been here, and they haven't. I've got Alabama winning this one 24-20. I think they do get that big lead, but I think Connor Cook can kind of lead Michigan State back, but I don't think it will be to a victory. Hey, Marie, thanks for taking time to come on today. Great stuff.
Thank you, Tyler. It was great to be here, and good Michigan State.
I'd wish the same for Alabama, but I just don't want to. That does it for us today. Be sure to keep checking out isportsweb.com for all the coverage and post-game reaction for the second semifinal game between the Crimson Tide and the Spartans. For Marie Kane, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.